The Provoke Podcast, brought to you by Provoke Media and produced by the international broadcast specialist, Marketeers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Provoke Media Podcast. I'm Maya Pavinska-Sims, the EMEA editor of Provoke, and I'm joined in London today by two senior leaders from Team Farna, the very fast-expanding European Strategic Communications Group. My guests today are Team Farna Executive Chairman Rome Geezer and Lanson's Team Farna CEO Gordon Tempest-Hay. Roman joined Farna in 2012, having spent much of his career at Bursa Marsteller, latterly as its Chief Operating Officer in EMEA, plus a bit of a side hustle during that time as Vice Chair of Sister WPP at agency Young & Rubicam in Switzerland. Gordon, on the other hand, joined Lanson's as Chief Exec in 2022 as part of co-founders Tony Langham and Claire Parsons' succession plans for the business. He was previously CEO of Teneo, which is his home, for nearly 16 years. It's an exciting time at Team Farna, which is why I'm speaking to the guys today. Over the past couple of years, after investment from Waterland Private Equity, the group has acquired a slew of brilliant European agencies, including Germany's Kirchhoff Consult and creative and consulting firms Comdoc Passion, Skills in Austria, and of course moved into the UK with the acquisition of London's own highly regarded reputation management consultancy, Lanson's, in October last year. Team Farna now has a quite impressive 17 agencies across Europe with plans for further growth. So, Roman, Gordon, welcome to the Provoke podcast.
Good morning.
Thank you very much.
So, Roman, you're in London. What are you up to while you're here?
Hey, meeting the team here, preparing for an all-staff meeting this afternoon, meeting the co-partners here, managing the organization, having good discussions, and then moving into a client dinner tonight and having great discussions there.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit, I mean, I've kind of summarized it in very rapid fire terms. Tell us a bit about how Team Farna has evolved, particularly in recent years, and what the strategy has been behind your growth.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it in your intro. Farna has been an agency fully focused on the Swiss market, has grown into that very robust agency offering the full value chain of communications, and it became that big gorilla dominating the Swiss market. And 2.5 years ago, we decided to take that model of more than a peer agency, being an integrated agency to the European level. And it's been a fantastic ride so far. We've done 11 acquisitions. We are, I think, one of the fastest growing agencies in Europe. And taking that model out of Switzerland now into Germany, the acquisition of VIM Group for brand management, and then, of course, a very big step coming to the UK with the acquisitions of Lanson's, which is the most competitive communications market definitely in Europe. And it's been a great journey so far. It's been commercially successful, and we are very happy where we are. And of course, we are taking that hopefully to the next level in the years to come. The ambition is unchanged. We are already now a top 10 player in Europe. We would like to take this to top 5, top 3, and that, of course, based on organic growth and also acquisitions down the road. Looking at acquisition priorities, it's the core markets. We are quite strong and have a top 10 position in Germany with Compassion, Kirchhoff, and GFD. The market is and we would like to move downstream in our offering. We are now corporate financial issues management and transformation change in healthcare, and we would like that take that more downstream and have priorities there. The UK is a big priority market for further growth. It's a great start with Lanson's, and the way we build the agency and the value chain I describe, we always start left, means corporate strategy work and our core positioning. is the one of an agency being a management consultancy for integrated communications. When you take the first bit, management consultancy, it means we have to be and we are fit for the boardroom. It's that corporate strategy, it's strategy work in the boardroom with CCOs on top level. At the same time, we are a management consultancy for integrated communications. That means we would like to offer the full value chain of communications going downstream from digital to creative to content services. And that's what we offer across the region. We just added a digital ecosystem to the Swiss agency, now being 80 to 100 people in digital services, including video production. And this is the way we built the agency. And of course, being here in the UK and having a partner with Lensens, an agency we know for many, many years, Tony, Claire, it's fantastic partnering with an agency with such a reputation, great quality of work, and of course, a great team.
Fantastic summary. Thank you. I'm interested in the emphasis on digital and creative, because that historically hasn't really been part of the Stratcom's remit. But there's a lot of there's a lot you can get out of building digital and creative work into that strategic work you're doing for clients, isn't there?
Yeah, and it is mirroring the changes which are happening on the client side. We don't do that. Because we just like creative work and digital. It is a client need because we have massive complexity coming from the multi-stakeholder world we are living in. If you look at the development of corporate affairs department doing more than media relations and doing more than the corporate strategy work, it is helping organizations to transform. It is creating value in the market. And if it's the market, it's complex sales funnels, it's complexity all over the place when it comes to communication channels. So you need, as an agency, you need to offer more than just one piece. And many of our competitors, they are siloed in just one discipline. And we really believe that complexity and that multi-stakeholder environment and the communications function moving up into even more strategic levels needs a partnership with agency that can mirror exactly those trends.
We'll talk a bit more in a bit about the complexity of that multi-stakeholder environment. But another thing which I think is an interesting observation from our point of view as a global publication is that we're really seeing, I mean, historically the big groups have grown out of the US and expanded globally. And we're seeing a real trend in those European groups now going through massive expansion. Obviously, Team Farna, SEC Newgate are really building out from their Italian roots. Reed Pedersen, obviously building out from the Nordics. Bolt grew really quickly, obviously recently bought by Bully Pulpit Interactive in the States. What do you think it is about the European groups that is giving you such motivation and momentum at the moment?
I mean, first of all, there is consolidation in the market, which creates opportunities for the larger independent players such as Farno. Then there'll be a middle market. There'll always be the Bersons and the Edelmans operating globally. But with the new shape and geopolitical trends and regions becoming more and more important, I think regional players dominating their home turf have big opportunities. And this is the reason why we build in Europe. It's our home turf. That's the region we know well. And I think there are big trends and consolidation in the market, especially in that middle league of not being global organizations, but dominating a region we know well.
Tell me a little bit more. I mean, you've touched on how important London is and the UK market within that European network you're building. Tell me a little bit more about your specific plans and where you think the UK market can go next.
Yeah, ambition is very clear. We want to be a top 10 player in this market. That means we want to go organically and also through acquisitions. The region or the market is extremely important for us. It's the most competitive communications market in Europe. And if there is competition, there is always innovation. Innovation coming out of these markets means we can inspire the rest of the organization when we can take the best of innovation into the rest of the group. Second, it is still the gateway for global briefs coming into Europe. The old model of US American companies channeling work through the UK on to the continent is not as strong as it used to be historically, or at my time at Burson Marsteller, for example, but it's still the case. And therefore, having a UK agency which is strong, which is corporate, which is reputable, opens up that gateway function. Third element, this is a financial hub. And we've just been nominated one of the financial agencies at the Sabre Awards. And we have Kirchhoff in Hamburg, we have GFD in Frankfurt, we have a very strong corporate financial team in Zurich. And now we have Lansons here in this market, which creates a great access for financial communications across the region. And therefore, London, the UK, is very important for us.
So have you got your eye on any other agencies in the UK?
Too early to say.
Very diplomatic.
That's very diplomatic. I might be less diplomatic.
I'm sure we'll be the first to know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gordon, coming to you, how are things going at Lansons since the acquisition?
Yeah, it's been great, actually. And I know you would expect me to say that, but it is quite genuinely true. It has been great. And I think it's been great for two reasons. Firstly, you know, trading is fantastic. So we're very fortunate that we've had an absolutely stellar start to 2024. We had this moment at the end of 23 where, you know, like lots of agencies, we had lots of pitch opportunities and we just kind of won them all. And we had a wonderful, wonderful run, which meant that the year is starting really well. We've had some great wins that, you know, some of which might not be expected for Lansons. So, you know, we've won things like a major brief from the National Lottery. We've just been appointed by Bupa. We obviously recently it was announced that we had been appointed by Santander. We've also picked up part of the old Silicon Valley Bank, now part of HSBC. We're working for the British Virgin Islands, for Columbia Threadneedle, for eToro. But so we had a fantastic start to 2024. I should say that some of those wins actually also were in partnership with other Team Farner agencies. So it's one of those wonderful tests that can you quite quickly win work with your new partners? Not just that you can work together, but you might not have won it without each other. Yeah. So certainly Yveo, Swiss agency, worked with us to help us on the Santander pitch, which was fantastic. Brought something to the table that we did not have before at Lansons and was a really important part of us winning that. We've also worked with Compassion, which obviously Roman mentioned as a German agency, and helped them win again a brief they'd held for a very long time, which came up for repitch, which was for Stada Healthcare. So it's really lovely that in early days you can kind of go, we're maybe 3 months in, we're already winning together, and we're winning things we might not have won had we not been together.
That sounds like a really exciting time. So you're optimistic about the year ahead, because that's kind of the feeling I'm getting after all my agency visits that we do for our Agency of the Year shortlists, is that there was a last year was interesting, tough for a lot of agencies, but everyone seems really positive about this year.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's anyone who's willing to be honest says 2023 was hard. You know, lots of the big agencies went backwards. And not everybody is as open about that as they should be. But you know, that's the reality of what a lot of the agency market faced in 23. 24 has started more strongly. I think there is probably more economic optimism. There's probably here in the UK a sense of political change. Interest rates are reducing. Inflation is coming down. There's probably a sense of new beginning. So people are beginning to feel, okay, we can stride forward. We can see what the market is likely to do. Let's get out there. So, I mean, you never know, things can change. And obviously, we're all impacted by global events. But right now, it certainly feels a much happier start to the year than what was a tough 2023.
And it also depends a bit on the service offering of agencies. And what we see is that corporate crisis issues, public affairs, has been much more resilient than the offerings which are consumer oriented. And as the group is built, and again, back to my value chain, based on strategy and corporate financial to start with, and then go downstream, I think the group has proven to be quite resilient despite the tough economic environment.
We've got an interesting year coming up, haven't we? Because you touched on political change or possible political change, hopeful political change. Slightly unbiased there. That's not just in the UK. Obviously, there's elections going on across Europe and the big one in the US. How much impact does that have on what how clients are feeling and the type of work they want to do? Are they sitting and waiting, or are they, what are they thinking, and what are you advising around political change across the region you operate in?
Sure. Okay. So as a rule, what most clients and what most agencies want is certainty. You know, we've all got our political biases. We all stand for whether we want to see Biden or Trump, or whether we want to see, you know, Sunak or Starmer. But what most clients want is certainty. They want to know the environment they're going into. They want to know that there is a clear political direction of travel, and they want to know what that means economically. So, for example, if we look in the microcosm of UK, probably a year ago, people were saying, okay, it's probably Labour as the biggest party, but it might be a minority government, or God, that could be quite messy. Now most people are saying, okay, it's going to be Labour, and with a majority, which means they can govern. And whatever your personal politics are, people prefer that certainty. It enables clients to plan, know the environment they're going to operate in, and make stuff happen. Exactly the same in the US. So it's really interesting, actually. If you look back economically, in every year that there is a US election, irrespective of the outcome, there is a market bounce. Always has a tick up, just because it provides a new moment of freshness and certainty, and then the market goes again. So that's usually positive for our clients, obviously. That's also usually positive just for a sense of optimism in the market. So although it's a messy period in that we're waiting for the elections to happen, and obviously if they end up with messy outcomes, that's not great. If they end up with definitive outcomes, that tends to be very good for our market.
That's really interesting. Roman, have you got anything to add to that?
No, I just have a few impressions coming out of the PAGE spring seminar, which took place in Paris a couple of weeks ago. And that's why I started with the multi-stakeholder environment, which again is fueled not just by the election cycle, it's fueled by geopolitical issues, it is supply chain issues, it's migration, it's aging societies, it's a war in Europe, it's the war in the Middle East, which creates for organizations and therefore the corporate affairs departments an environment of even greater multi-stakeholder management, and we see that function moving up the organization and becoming more and more strategic in helping organization navigating through that complexity. And the election cycle is one element of it, but there are many other issues having an impact on this.
Okay, so I mean, what would you both say are the biggest challenges and opportunities for strategic communications agencies and comms in general this year and kind of going forward into 2025?
Okay, so I see it as an opportunity, though I understand that a number of our competitors talk about it as a threat. By and large, if I look at our industry, other than the fact that, you know, we now have email and mobile rather than fax and telephones and things like that, generally, the discipline and the way that consultancies have operated for many years has remained largely the same. You know, it's good advisory consulting, it's engagement with media and so on. All of that stays true, but probably for the first time, truly, we are going to see technological disruption. I know it's already a cliche, but AI is going to change the game. It's going to change the game in the way that we operate. It's going to change the game in our expectations from clients, the quality of what they are delivered, the pace at which they are delivered, the value of what they get as well. And I also think, you know, AI is going to play a very important role in us also being able to disaggregate what is true, what is deep fake, what is all of that environment around our clients. Technology is going to be a major disruptor. And if you are kind of the kind of agency that plays predominantly low end, lots of people, toolkitty type work, that is going to come under threat. You know, what you have got to be to add value in an environment that is facing technological disruption is you have got to be high end, strategic, value added, be able to be in the boardroom of your clients, be able to move their thinking and their understanding forward. If you can't do that, and now that technology is coming, your business is going to face a real challenge. You could be swept away by it. And I say that, whereas, you know, it's the old cliches, you know, short term, the technology is almost always, the impact of technology is almost always understated or overstated. And in the longer term, it's understated. I reckon 2-3 years time, as AI develops, you're going to see a really significant shakeout of the agency sector and changing expectations from our clients.
Roman, what do you think?
Yeah, of course, I fully agree, and we are in the midst of it. We are training everyone. We are working on prompt libraries. We have even creative campaigns out there being crowdsourced and supported by AI. So it's a big opportunity. I see it the same way as Gordon does. But of course, we have to move fast. The second element, and it's not technology, it's regulation, as always. If I see what's coming out of the ESG discussions and state regulations, and we see that in our discussion with Kirchhoff in Germany, who is a specialist in reporting and strong in ESG, it's a massive opportunity as organizations need consulting services in that space and have new obligations in the field of reporting. It's that corporate strategy work. It's the big hairy issues. It's the geopolitical topics we just mentioned. That's going to be a core issue for this year, or most probably moving into 2025, 2026.
What other opportunities are you seeing coming down the line?
I do think actually, well, I just wanted to reflect something that Roman said earlier, which actually might sound contradictory to what we've just said, but you picked up on it as well, Maya, actually, in some of your reflections on what Roman mentioned, which is, I do genuinely believe that irrespective of all that we've just said, creativity is an undervalued quality. You know, we all talk about, I was worried about our industry that it's sort of perceived as the clever, expensive, difficult work is done when we talk about strategic comms and corporate, and the creativity is the nice, fluffy, enjoyable stuff. And actually, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that sort of delineation between those two things. I do believe that brilliant creative applied to difficult corporate environments can unlock value for our clients. And actually, that is particularly true when you are working with clients that operate in a heavily regulated sector, which tends to make them all feel quite samey. Actually, the opportunity to unlock value for them through brilliant creative done in an understanding of their difficult, complex and regulated environment, that is an unlocker. That is an opportunity. Mm. And I tend to think our industry tends to kind of go, oh no, there's creative-y type agencies that we call consumer and they're very different. And then there's sort of Stratecom type agencies that we call that and are very different. And I think the opportunity is finding the brilliant blend of those to unlock a client's challenge.
Absolutely. Yeah, fully agree. It's those three elements. Entire discussion we have strategy becoming more and more important, boardroom discussions which need agency support, and of course fitness in those agency to be good advisors on boardroom level. Second is what Gordon just mentioned is that ability to do more than just one thing. I call it the value chain of communications. The industry calls it multidisciplinarity in having creative services, in being strong in digital, and not just in consumer briefs, in a typical corporate briefs, having more than just one element or conceptual perspective at the table makes implementation of campaigns just more successful. And the third element is tech savviness. And this is AI, and this is data and digital. To that we are used to, but AI shaping the industry moving forward.
It's interesting, isn't it, how your world has evolved, like you said, from high-level corporate and strategic advisory to having these extra integrated layers where you really need that creative nous, even in what used to be viewed as kind of the most dry and serious bits of the, and grown up maybe bits of the industry.
Yeah.
Plus now this extra layer of really needing that rapid, smart adoption of AI and all the implications of that, whether that's kind of legal or otherwise. It seems to me that the agency world has got more complex in obviously mirroring how clients' needs are changing. How do you think the brands and organizations you work for are feeling about their use of communications going forward and the skills you have to offer them?
Sure. I think for them, obviously they're going through similar changes as well. A lot of our clients are equally looking at AI and how it can change their world. I think the other thing that I think has changed relates to your question directly, which is over the last 5 to 10 years, I think the quality of clients' in-house teams has increased significantly.
Yeah.
You know, there was probably a model in the past where they were still good in-house, obviously, but they relied very heavily on agencies. Now, in-house teams they're good. They're really, really good. And so consequently, you've got to be even better as an agency. You know, you've got to be able to be adding value to an already highly competent team. So that is a huge challenge for an agency to be able to go, we can't just get away with doing what we were doing 5 to 10 years ago and, you know, moving bits of paper around and keeping people up to date on media moves and whatever it might be. It's just not good enough anymore. So I think clients are recognizing that there is value in having a really good quality in-house team. And then clients rightly are expecting and demanding more of their agents to be ever more creative, ever more looking forward to alert them to things that are coming that they haven't yet seen. I think other things that agencies bring, which are much harder for clients, is that agencies have a broader field of vision. You know, nearly all of my clients will say to me, you know, I am utterly drenched in my business. I know my business brilliantly, but I'm not necessarily looking out into the market, looking at what our competitors are doing and learning from other sectors. Actually, that's what agencies can bring to the table, a much wider palette to be able to say to clients, look, you're brilliant at this, but we can see a broader field of vision, and that's why we can bring an added layer to your level of expertise.
And that definitely needs broader services. It needs the advisory. It needs the perspective, but it also needs the capabilities in an organization. And I just take Farner in Switzerland, which we have gone from a advisory type of corporate public affairs consultancy into, again, that full value chain of communications. But if you go there, you have to be really serious about it. It doesn't, having a creative director in the team and someone doing digital and social, that's the first step. But if you go down there, you have to be in a position to get briefs, which normally would go to a creative agency. Now, that path in Switzerland has taken us to a fully integrated agency. What does it mean? This agency now is the top three ranked creative agency in the market, being in the same position as the large advertising groups in Switzerland. So if you go there, you have to be serious, you have to be invest, and you have to aspire for a top league position in that market. The same for digital. It is great to have someone in the organization being a digital crack. If you go downstream, and that's the digital ecosystem I mentioned, it's performance marketing, it's social digital, it's the full spectrum of services, because the briefs that come in, which are truly multidisciplinary, need services that are strong enough in all those disciplines. And that's the model. That's what we believe is the right answer to more complexity on our client side, and that's the way we build the agency moving forward.
Roma, we'll be watching with interest how that your response to that greater complexity in the world, in society, and in that, in what clients are needing, is reflected by what Team Farna does next. Thank you very much. Well, enjoy the rest of the time in London. I just wanted to finish with a more personal question for you both. How do you both unwind? Because you are both busy men and there's a lot going on in the world and a lot going on in the business. Roman, what do you do to get outside of all of this complexity?
That's very simple. I go outside. I live in the Alps. I have my favorite place in Arosa, which is the next value to Davos. And on a Thursday evening for a home office day on a Friday or a weekend, I spend my time out there in the nature, go skiing in the winter, go hiking in the summer. And that is the best distraction you can get from business. And even if you are in business and do strategy work there, it's just a different atmosphere, which inspires me massively.
Fantastic. Nothing like the mountains for clearing the head.
Exactly.
What about you, Gordon?
Mine are nowhere near as wholesome as that. So I play in bands, which is really, I'm far too old for it now, but I still do. And I fly planes.
Okay, well, hang on. Might not be wholesome, but quite exciting.
Yeah, no, I'm one of those sort of, you know, middle-aged men that about 10 years ago, I got my private pilot's license. So at the weekend, and it is a bunch of middle-aged men sort of pop up in our funny little planes and we fly around wherever we fly.
Excellent. That sounds great. And what instrument do you play?
I play guitar, bass and drums, but I am in my latest band, I play guitar.
Okay, fantastic. Well, I'm like mentally now putting together a PR industry band, like dream band. So I'll earmark you for guitar.
Fantastic. Thank you.
It'll be you're on vocals, Roman, obviously, in that the Team Farna band. It's great to chat to you both. Thank you so much for your time today. And yeah, we'll be watching with interest to see what happens next.
Thank you, Maya.
Thanks very much.
You've been listening to the Provoke podcast, brought to you by Provoke Media and produced by the international broadcast specialist, Marketeers.